Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries daily worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the modification order right after this. There's a thing in court called the modification order, and it works in things like child support payments. Oftentimes people will call the law school and they'll complain about their ex-wives or ex-husbands and about how they're not paying their child support or how the ex-wife is trying to have me put in jail because I didn't pay, blah, 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 you know, and it goes on and on. And so I thought, well, let me make a comment or two here in story time and tell you about the modification order. Men typically don't pay attention to details. And they go into the divorce and they sign off on this final decree. And the final decree, boys, is it's a new contract. You see, you had the old contract called the marriage contract, and now that you've got a divorce, you have a new three-party limited general partnership called the divorce contract. Now, let's run over this one more time. When you got married, you wanted to have a three-party limited general partnership, an adhesion contract between the boy, the girl, and the state, and that was accomplished with a marriage license. And now that you're divorced, for some reason, you've decided, I want to have a continuation of this three-party limited general partnership between the boy, the girl, and the state. Only now we're going to call it the final decree. But now that you've changed the name of the contract, it doesn't change the specific performance requirements. And it doesn't change the guardian. You still have a guardian-ward relationship, and the state's your guardian. Because it's obvious that you're unable to manage your own affairs. You couldn't manage your marriage. What in the hell makes you think you can manage your divorce? So the state comes in and says, we can manage both. For everybody concerned, and that's what we want to do. Now, the girl says, that's what I want the state to do, because I want them to stick it to this guy and make him pay me. And the boy says, well, I want them to do that because I want to get rid of this woman, and he doesn't know what else to do. So in this new order, this new contract, you're ordered to pay the ex-wife $1,000 a month for child support. Now, the ex-wife goes out and finds a new boyfriend. And she and the boyfriend want to live off of your alimony and child support. They want you to go out and work, and then they want you to support them. It's a hell of a neat deal. And you've already agreed to do that, remember? That was in that new divorce contract, that final decree. Now, some time goes by, and you lose your job. And because you've lost your job, you're no longer able to pay the child support. And so, you just don't pay it, and one day, you get a letter in the mail that says, hey, you haven't paid your child support, and you're ordered to appear before the judge, and you show up, and the judge gives you a judgment debtor's hearing, and how come you haven't paid your child support, and, well, I lost my job, or I got this, that, or another thing going on. The judge says, well, that's too bad. And she throws you in jail for 30, 60, or 90 days. Oh, that goes on all the time. And people, they just really get upset about that. I'm not sure why. They agreed to it. They went into the deal with the agreement. And then when I tell people that, they say, I did not agree to go to jail. Oh, yeah, you did. Sure you did. It's in the statutes. That's what an adhesion contract is. That's a deal where the legislature makes the rules, and you agree to them, in the contract, marriage contract or the final decree, and you never did read the statutes, and the judge is simply construing the statutes. That's all. All right, now here's where this modification order comes in. You see, the day that you lost your job is the day that you should have gone into court and filed for a modification. What does that mean? That means, Judge, I lost my job and I can't pay the child support anymore, so I want you to modify the child support order until such time as I find work. Now, you go down and you sign up for unemployment insurance, and when you come into court with your petition, with the modification petition, you say, now I'm going to sign over my unemployment insurance to the ex-wife. See how simple this is? So you give her the unemployment, and you go starve to death. This is the way the game is played. This is what you agreed to. Now, this unemployment's going to run out in 13 or 26 weeks or something like that. Now, if you're smart enough to wake up and smell the coffee here and get off of employment, you know what I mean? Get off of employment. Now, remember this. The law does not expect you to do the impossible. So if you never work again, and you're not making any money working anyway, so what the hell difference does it make if you're not making any money while you're working, or you're not making any money while you're not working? You're not making any money. And if you don't make any money, then you don't have to pay alimony and child support. That's after you get the modification. Now, if the judge won't give you the modification, you take it up on appeal, and the appellate court will award you the modification. Now, that's assuming, of course, that you're doing your part and you're going out every day looking for work. But in today's economy, you can go out and work, look for work every day, and you won't find it, will you? But you're trying. And that's what the judge wants to see, that you're out trying, that you're putting in resumes. So you make up a resume, and you go out, and then you file 3 resumes every week. See how simple that is? You walk into any 3 places. Hey, can I leave my resume here? And you leave your resume and you walk out. And then when you're called into one of these show cause hearings, you keep a list of all the places that you've put in your resume. Now, in the event that you're unlucky and one of these prospective employers were to call you on the telephone and say, yes, I've got a job and I'd like to put you back, I'd like to put you to work. Well, then you've got a job and now you can go down and work and pay your alimony and child support. Or you might go down for a job interview and flunk the job interview, and then you'd be back to square one, and then you wouldn't have to pay the alimony and child support, because while it's true I did get an interview last week, I didn't get the job. See how simple that is? I mean, you don't have to be real smart to do this, and it'll keep you out of jail if, in fact, you want to stay out of jail. Now, the jail gives you 3 hots and a cot. Now, it doesn't feed very well, and so I'm not sure that the 3 hots you're going to care too much for, but, you know, if push ever comes to shove, then, you know, you need to go to jail for 30, 60, or 90 days, you know, you'll have good companionship, and you'll have good card game, and they've got just as good a television in jail as out. It's not the best place to be, but it's not the worst. The Army. It's probably worse than jail. I mean, think about it. There's nobody shooting at you while you're in jail. Now, isn't that just real special?